Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Is it actually working? Yes, it's working. Okay, so I got a phone call the other day from someone in my shul who, for the first time in his life, is faced with the problem that he's going to have to fire a firm Jew. And he's struggling with this a lot. Not as much as the other person is going to struggle, obviously, but he's struggling with this a lot, that this really, really hurts. Here's a person who has to pay yeshiva tuitions just like him and everything else, but it's just not working out. He's not able to do the job. So the shaila is, are there any considerations, in particular when it comes to the ethics and halachos of firing an employee? Do you have to, are there halachos of severance? Are there halachos of what would be cause to fire, what would not be cause to fire? Could you just decide any day that you want to fire? So there are a few klalim, and then we'll get into some of the pratim. The Mishnah Bava Metzia tells us that a balabayis who hires poalim is not allowed to back out in the middle of the job, and if he does so, it's yado ala tachtona, but that's only for a kablan. You hired him to do a job, and halfway through the job you decide to fire him. But if he's a poal that works by the hour, so yochalach afilu b'chatzi ayom, you can go back even in the middle of the day. Similarly, if you hire, or also if you hire somebody for a year, or for that matter you lease a car, you do anything where the agreement has a term, then you're locked into that agreement. So that's true by a worker as well. Once there's a kinyan, the employer can't change his mind and say that he had enough if you made some sort of a direct commitment, a contractual commitment for a period of time, for a specific, clear period of time. The employee can leave. The employee is allowed to leave early. Pasuk says, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, Chazal darshan avadai heim v'lo avadim l'avadim." That a person never becomes an eved to other people, and therefore he's allowed to leave. But the employer is locked in for that term. So a school teacher, you're not allowed to fire without cause. At the end of the year, the school doesn't have to renew the contract. The Mishnah says that the assumption is, with many of these things, that a kol k'minhag medina. So that's what Rav Moshe writes, that a stam schirus is a daitut minhaga, that we normally follow whatever the common practice is, and that common practice even extends to wherever the common practice of that employer might be. Rav Sternbach limits that a little bit by saying that that's only binding if the common practice is written into law, not just left up to the judgment of each judge in any case, nor is it binding if it's something that's not al pi ruach hayosher ve'atzedek, says Rav Sternbach in Chuvus Van Hagos. Okay, so what if you have no stated term of employment? So Chavetz Chaim writes that it's best to always have everything explicitly spelled out in a contract where everything is made very clear. Most contracts, however, do not have an end point. There's an annual salary, there's hiring, but there's no end point that you're working until X date. So what is the assumption? When are you working until? What is the assumption that without cause you shouldn't be let go? What is the assumed end date? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that when you hire without specifying an amount of time, get this, Rav Moshe writes, the assumption is you're hired for life, that it's forever, that any time that you're hired, it's for life. Most of the other poskim do not accept that, that may be the culture in the Far East or something where there are values like loyalty and things like that. But in America, there's no such thing. So there's no assumption that you're hired for life, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish and Divrei Malkiel say. It's not mistaber that it's a lifelong commitment. So without a term, we assume that the commitment is only for that pay period. So if a person gets paid monthly, the assumption is that the commitment is a month-long commitment. If they get paid weekly, it's a week-long commitment. If in the middle of the term you want to fire the guy, so you're not allowed to fire without cause, but at the end of the term you are. Now if there's an onus, something unusual happens, so the market collapses, the metzias changes, that the job becomes unnecessary, so then you can even fire in middle of the term. However, the concept of the onus is that it was totally unexpected. But if you hire somebody knowing full well that the market might be about to collapse and you're just not sure, or you're hiring some extra hands to prevent the collapse, and then the inevitable happens, so then you can't say that I didn't know this was going to happen. On the flip side, if everybody knew that it was going to happen, so the employee knew also, so then you would be allowed to fire because he understood that the temporary nature of the job. So there are a number of other exceptions aside from ones. When it comes to an ani, normally the Rambam writes in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Halacha Zayin, that the highest form of tzedakah is to give somebody a job because it maintains their dignity. They're able to earn a living. So some of the poskim wanted to suggest that when you hire a person who needs a parnasa, who doesn't have any money, so that's a form of tzedakah, and therefore it's a neder l'tzedakah. When you hire the person, it's a neder l'tzedakah. So before you fire the person, you would need to be matir neder, because you're not following through on your neder l'tzedakah. I asked Rav Shachter about this last night. He said, no, that doesn't. It was a neder betos. You hired the person thinking that they'll be able to do the job, and they weren't able to do the job. So it may be a neder l'tzedakah, but the whole thing was a neder betos. However, someone that you develop a relationship with over time and has worked for you for some time probably would take priority in tzedakah. The Gemara Mitzia tells us, "Aniya ircha kodmin," that people who are closer to you take priority than people who are more distant from you. So someone who's been working for you as a tzedakah priority, he would probably, and the greatest tzedakah would probably be to help him find another job. Obviously, not to set up another employer to be disappointed by him. Get him another job that he can actually do, that he might be successful at doing. Another potential exception are positions of srara, where the employment is an employment of srara. Then it's now you don't have as much leeway in terms of firing in the middle of the rabbi gives a bad drasha, or he gives a bad psak, so he's out. So that you can't really do, because the whole nature of the position is that he shouldn't have to answer to every to every one of his employers. It may apply to a shishiva, a rav, Chazanim, maybe Shamashim, different types of sorrow. Moshe talks about Mashkiach. Then the question becomes, okay, but what if there is cause? So if there is cause, then you can fire, but what would be cause? So the Gemara says that you can only fire without warning if the guy causes a pseudo de lo hadar. He's a loss to the business that you can't get back. So a teacher, a bloodletter, a butcher are all considered forewarned. They don't need to be given asra'a. The Rambam quotes this halacha of letting him go, but the Rambam says it only by ho v'midu al-son hatzibur aleihem, that since it's a public position, so then you're allowed to fire him without cause, with cause even in the middle of a term, and he's assumed to be forewarned. However, the Ravid and the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Zayin Sivchas and Chosh Mishpat implies that the rules are the same for a private employer as it is for a public position. The Rambam's implication is that if he messes up a pseudo de lo hadar even once, you can fire him. But the Ravid says nihi de lo tzrichi hasra'a chazaka bi'inan. You may not need hasra'a to warn him in advance, but chazaka bi'inan, you need to have a chazaka that he messes up, more frequently. The Rama quotes this as yesh omrim. He says v'yesh omrim dafal pishen tzrichim hasra'a mikol makom bi'inan chazaka. What if you just find somebody more qualified than the previous fellow? So that's a little bit tricky. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra talks about that when it comes to Malamde Tinokos, when it comes to teachers of Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hai Mikri Yanuki Degaris, if you have a teacher of children who knows how to teach, Vika Akrina Degaris Tfemine, but there's someone else that's better, Loma Salkinanla, you don't fire him, Tel Masilis Rashule, because if a teacher's always looking over his shoulder, he's not going to have any confidence, and he's not going to do a good job. Rav Dima Minarda, Amar, Kol Shikin Degaris Tfemine, no, put a little pressure, tighten the screws on the teacher a little bit, and then he'll do an even better job if he knows that he could be dismissed if they find someone better. Kina Sofrim Tar B'Chachma, in Shulchan Aruch we pass on like Rav Dimi, that in Yesh Melamid U'Ba'acher Tov Mimenu Misalkin Arishon Mipnei Hasheni. The Aruch HaShulchan wonders why that's fair. Lama Yigara Melamid Mishar Poel Dein Balabayis Yachalach Zerubem Sizman Skiruso K'shein Amotzei Mum B'Malachto. By other Poel, then you're not allowed to do that. If the guy didn't do anything wrong with his work, and you discovered a better artist, a painter who does a better job, but there's nothing wrong with the work that you're not supposed to be chozer in the middle of the job. So the Aruch HaShulchan deals with that question. What about severance? Is there such a concept in halacha called severance pay? So the Sefer HaChinuch points out that by an Eved Ivri there's a mitzvah called Ha'anaka, that you're supposed to give him a severance when he leaves. You paid him in full when you bought him, you paid him his full value, but still you send him away with a certain amount of money. So the Chinuch writes that even though it's a mitzvah associated with an Eved, we derive from there that that's the Ratzon HaTorah, is that Amidas Chasidus is for an employee to let someone, when they let someone go, that there should be some severance. Minchas Yitzchak adds that depending on Minog, there could be an obligation beyond the Midas Chasidus, because if the Minog HaMakom is that everyone gets that severance, so like in Eretz Yisrael for sure, and even perhaps in America, there's a thing in the world of Chinuch called Chodesh Lashana, that for every year served, you get 1 month of salary. So if a teacher's been teaching for 30 years and then they want to fire him, they got to give him 2.5 years worth of salary. In other professions, they don't have such a practice. But if that's the minhag, then that's what you do. Now, of course, this doesn't mean firing workers is always problematic. Sometimes workers are counterproductive, and that's the case. That's what you have to do. Meaning, you have to realize that sometimes the person feels like they're being a big bel chesed, so they want to keep the worker on. But you also have partners, and you have other stakeholders in the company, and you have other people who are losing money because of this worker. So then you have an achrayus that it's something to do. Sometimes that they have to fire the worker. They should do it with ethics. And again, ideally, try to help the person find other employment, as that is the greatest form of tzedakah. Okay, everyone have a great day and a great Shabbos.